Vignette number 80 from Zen is right here. Teaching stories and anecdotes of Shunju Suzuki. A psychologist asked about the nature of enlightenment. "I'm not enlightened," Suzuki Roshi said. "I can't answer." Oh, Richard Baker reported that. Oh. Whoops. No, I have a note. This isn't Richard Baker, it's Arthur Dykman, who's a psychologist. Richard Baker was in Japan in 1970 anyway. But on the other hand, maybe Richard told me this story about Arthur or some other psychologist. I think Arthur told me that. Well, who knows? Doesn't matter. Oh, gosh. I just sent in some changes for Zen is Right Here. I bet I did something about that. I went over them carefully. Ananda Claude Dallenberg was a priest that Suzuki ordained. He'd been with him since, 1963, 64. Claude had been around Zen since 1949 when he started attending Alan Watts lectures in Chicago. And he followed Watts to San Francisco and became the janitor of the American Association of Asian, the AAAA. The American Academy of Asian Studies, the AAAS, I think it was. Anyways, what turned into the I have to pause this and go see what was it it became. Oh yeah, the CIIS, the California Institute of Integral Studies. Anyway, Claude had been an occasional student of Tobase, who was at Sokoji before Suzuki in the 50s. And Claude had met D.T. Suzuki and had sat with Nyogen Senzaki. He was a real, he went back further than anybody in the Zen Center in that way. He was very close with Alan Watts, really revered Alan Watts. He was always a little mad at Suzuki for allowing Zen Center to get so big. He liked it when it was small and personal. And they could, there were just a few of them, and they could go have breakfast with him. But anyway, so when I told Claude I wanted to interview him for the book Crooked Cucumber, yeah, he was eager, man. He drove out to San Rafael where I was. That was about 65, I bet, that I interviewed him. And he came out with a list, things written, points he wanted to make. And number one was Suzuki Roshi was not enlightened. He said so on numerous occasions. Well, yeah. All right. So that was Claude's point. But he would also say he was enlightened sometime. You know, you couldn't pin him down. Anyway, what is enlightenment? He'd say, like Mike Dixon said, well, you know, he learned that people were so attached to this idea of enlightenment, and what he stressed was practice and the Soto approach to Zen. There was a book named that by Masanaga that came out really early, like 65 or something, 66, the Soto approach to Zen, is that practice and enlightenment are one. Enlightenment is not like some object, some goal in the future. It is our practice. It is the way we are living. It is who we are fundamentally. Yeah, etc. And and everybody was so enlightenment oriented, you know, was so stuck on this idea of enlightenment from reading Alan Watts and D.T. Suzuki, who had, that was their approach, was to emphasize that, and what is it, and there is such a thing, and all that. And not saying that was wrong, it was just it needed to be balanced, and the way he balanced it was to poo-poo it, in a sense, or to take the emphasis away from enlightenment. And also the Zen Rinzai teachers of the time were really emphasizing enlightenment, Kensho. They'd usually use the word Kensho instead of Satori. And and some of the Soto teachers who used koans emphasized Kensho. So Suzuki was one of the Soto Zen teachers who emphasized practice and didn't have much to say about enlightenment. But Mike Dixon said that early on when he was there, before he'd realized how stuck everybody was on that idea, that he would say sometimes, Mike said, he'd say, well, my second enlightenment experience was so-and-so or whatever. Anyway, you know what? That didn't matter to us at Zen Center, because he did set the tone of not making a big deal out of the rush to enlightenment. We were practice-oriented, and we were mainly, most students there were very happy just to be his students. People would meet him, and like Diane DePrima, may she rest in peace, said, when she met him, she just wanted to learn what he knew, and she would have studied with him whatever he was. He didn't have to be a Zen master. He could have, I can't remember what example she gave me, he could have been a potter, he could have been a farmer. And people would meet him and just hear him talk. You know, people who've been studying philosophy and comparative religion in college and this and that, and just time after time, I'd hear them say, wow, I heard him speak, and I thought, oh my God, it's real. He's the real thing. He made more sense then in that talk than all my professors have ever. I mean, I kept hearing that from people. And so people liked studying with him, being with him, without some big idea that he's the most enlightened person in the world. And there wasn't a big thought of that in the Zen Center. In fact, that was a nice thing about the Zen Center, because groups tend to, the people in groups tend to say how enlightened their teacher is and how much more enlightened their teacher is than other teachers. And some places it was like, this is the only place to really study and really get enlightened or whatever, the real thing. That's very common, you know, in religions. And just, it's common in cities. Our city's better than your cities. In high schools, high school rivalry, you know, in states, in political parties. You know, that's just the way people gravitate toward things. So there wasn't that sort of push really hard. I mean, we did like him. We were happy to study with him. And many people were very grateful we were there and didn't want to study with anybody else. But a number of people did study with other people and did go to other teachers. And there wasn't a feeling there that he was the best teacher. Like maybe Sasaki in L.A. was a better teacher, maybe, you know, et cetera. Maybe Yasutani. Or maybe Greg Boyan decided to go be a Mayor Baba devotee, even though Mayor Baba had died. And he still loved Suzuki Roshi. But, you know, people would go to other things, and they had permission. They could be Christians. They could do anything. So, anyway, And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I not only, you know, look at what other people have to say about him and deal in that material a lot, have for decades, but I deal in his lectures a lot. And I sort of do it as a job. I'm not, you know, looking intensely, trying to understand or anything. I'm just going through it, doing stuff, going, and I am constantly impressed. And, you know, I say, hey, this stuff is good enough for me. I mean, I look at other things. I follow other teachers somewhat, other ways. I learn from everybody. But I'm very happy that that I ran into Suzuki and Katagiri and my fellow students, and able to follow his unenlightened, or maybe enlightened, or neither enlightened or not enlightened way. This has been a Geek Audio mini podcast. I'm DC Poobah of Geek Audio and Geek Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sanur with Doggett Bandita, Feline Cuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka, and wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.